I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the latest concerning Atlanta Highway and T-SPLOS 2018. All that and much more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, Blake Odd with Flagpole, and District 6 Commissioner Jerry Neesmith. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Commissioner Neesmith, I guess we will start with you because you're the go-to person concerning Atlanta Highway here. If you can tell us, I guess, a little bit about what's going on right now.
Well, for the last year or so, I've been having lots of conversations with the commercial real estate community and some of the property owners, also through the Athens Corridor commercial group, to try to find some ideas about how to make it easier for businesses to grow and for new businesses to come to Atlanta Highway. We've achieved a couple of things that could be significant. One was a few months ago, we did pass an ordinance that allows front yard parking on commercial corridors, suburban corridors, not the urban corridors. What that means is they can have two rows of parking in front with a two-lane street between them, or a road, and those roads have to connect between the parcels. So eventually we have an easier way to interconnect the parcels on Atlanta Highway, on Lexington Road, US 29, et cetera.
And what kind of difference do you think that will make?
Well, it has been a stumbling block for a few opportunities that I know of, where they wanted to build something and they said, without front yard parking, we're not going to do it.
So, if they have access roads, then they are allowed to have two.
No, actually, if they are allowed to have two rows of parking in the front, with a road between, they have to build a road between. And that road has to go to the property line. So when the next property, it's kind of like building sidewalks. So when the next property, if they decide to have front yard parking, that road will connect.
So we'll end up with an access road mm-hmm. that connects the parking lots of the businesses
Correct.
Lining Atlanta Highway.
Correct, eventually. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's been a big issue, I think, because it's so difficult to navigate in between the big box stores. They're not connected to each other. So, like, if you're at Toys R Us or something, you know, you've got to try to turn left out of Atlanta Highway to get
right.
to the mall, which is,
right.
you know, a quarter
well,
mile away.
Barnett Shoals and Gaines School. Yeah. Barnett Shoals, that is an excellent example mm-hmm. of it. We begged and begged the businesses
exactly right.
to do an access road, but
And hold that thought, because when we talk about T-SPLOST, I'm going to give you some ideas that we have that could be fixed.
And there was I know your committee, the Atlanta Highway Committee, has talked about an access road, I think, that would go behind the mall.
No,
that would connect
no.
the mall to some of the parcels further down
no,
Atlanta Highway.
No, it's actually, and I actually made this proposal to the Citizens Advisory Committee for the T-SPLOS.
Right,
for the transportation
SPLOS.
They
yeah.
didn't recommend it, yeah. but that was to have interconnection between Toys R Us, which is connected to Cleveland Road. You can access Toys R Us from Cleveland Road. Interconnection between Toys R Us and Goodwill and the mall.
Right. But it would be along the back side of those.
No, it was actually
properties.
In the front.
Okay.
In the front. There's housing back there.
Okay.
So we didn't want to disrupt those folks back there.
Is there any plan to soften this addition of another road and two lanes of parking? Is there any idea about making that more attractive?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, the purpose of it was to make it more attractive for businesses to grow or redevelop, or for new businesses to come onto these suburban corridors, commercial
uh-huh.
corridors.
Well, Jerry, I mean, we've talked about this before, though, and I mean, I think the access road could be helpful, and the two rows of parking in front, you know, I don't really have a huge objection to, but. I just think the idea of encouraging the same kind of development that has really started to fail on Atlanta Highway might not be the best idea, because we're just repeating
well,
the
this,
same
this,
mistakes
this
that we made in the past.
This isn't the kind of development we've had on Atlanta Highway. That's the whole point, is that we're – right now, if you want to build a new business on Atlanta Highway, you have to build right against the right-of-way. You can have no front yard parking. You have to have street trees. And you can't have, well, you can't have front yard parking. That is an urban corridor concept. It's not, believe it, Atlanta Highway is a auto-centric commercial corridor.
But shouldn't we be working towards making it not as auto-centric
as it
is?
No, we should be working to make it commercially successful.
Well, but...
But couldn't you do that by looking at things like maybe more transit out there to reduce the amount of traffic?
Well, absolutely. We need those other things, too. We need sidewalks. We need pedestrian crossings.
You need additional density for sidewalks and transit to work out there, though. You know, you need more of urban-style development for that to really be successful.
Well,
because otherwise it's just too far to
walk. You take it one step at a time. Like right now, I think one of our biggest needs is for more transit and for more sidewalks. We don't have any sidewalks. And we have the GDOT came in and put pedestrian crossroads everywhere with pedestrian lights, and we have no sidewalks.
Right.
Right.
And we need more transit. We need transit to go further out, and we need for it to go to Caterpillar, and we need it to go to some of those neighborhoods out there, and we need for it to be available to people.
Well, I'm concerned because the kind of development that it sounds like you're describing is essentially the Gwinnett County strip that's just the commercial strips down.
We're in competition, serious competition, for commercial and business development on the Atlanta Highway. We have to make it as attractive to the entrepreneurs who want to come and develop and build businesses on Atlanta Highway as we can. If we don't, we won't get it. The other thing we did is it was last month we passed an ordinance that I had put together with the planning department where heretofore, if you wanted to expand the size of your building on a commercial corridor or expand the amount of developed or improved land on your lot by more than 10%, then you had to come in compliance with all of our ordinances about sidewalks and street trees. And that's very burdensome. I know a particular business who decided not to add 4 employees, not to do the expansion because they have to have sidewalks and street trees on both sides of their building.
But we just talked about how we need more sidewalks on Atlanta Highway. So
right.
Well, let me finish. And now we're letting them expand by 25% rather than 10%.
And not build a sidewalk.
And not build a sidewalk.
But we need sidewalks on Atlanta Highway.
We need sidewalks. We need to build sidewalks.
Right, and
we need to build sidewalks.
But what kind of people?
So the taxpayers should pay for the sidewalks and not the business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, Jerry, that's interesting. That's different.
We're doing it all over the city. We're doing it all over the city. Mm. Well, if they build sidewalks in town, taxpayers are paying for it. Why can't we do it in the suburbs?
Well,
what's
the difference? If we're going to build sidewalks, then we need to build places where people don't mind walking, and people don't mind people getting off of a bus. For a sidewalk and then a road.
Actually, GDOT needs to build the sidewalks.
GDOT
look at the Oconee Connector. That's a complete street. GDOT built that.
They did build sidewalks there, but do you ever
see
anyone walking
lanes?
There?
No, they don't. That's my point. But
because
they built
so
that because that's what
that
GDOT does now.
You can't walk.
They build sidewalks and bike lanes and left turn lanes.
And but when we went to Atlanta to talk to GDOT about Epps Bridge Road, we added $1 million to the budget to make sure that it was done right. But one of our major concerns was to keep that green frontage on that road, and we've done a good job of it, except for Georgia Power's huge poles. That's a very attractive road, and you could say that it's suburban. And you could say it was auto-centric.
It's not commercial.
But it is very...
It's not commercial.
Well, but it's very attractive
to
people walking. And that's not going to happen in a commercial area that is designed toward the road.
We have commuters, bus commuters, who need sidewalks. We have people in those neighborhoods who would do more walking or biking from the neighborhoods around if there were sidewalks and ways to get to them.
Right.
Let's move on.
So those are
the kinds of things we're trying to do to make the expansion of businesses and new businesses more attractive to the people who are looking for a place to build or expand.
And so just to summarize, Jerry, your incentives for new businesses are what?
Well, Atlanta Highway is an incentive in itself. There's a whole lot of traffic, a whole lot of cars on Atlanta Highway.
Already?
Yeah, I live out there. It's constant. So that alone is an attraction to people to build on Atlanta
Highway.
And
we have that. That's
and
great.
And we have that, yes. And we're still competing with the nice new shiny things in Oconee County, so it's going to be difficult. But we can't just say give up and keep right. doing the same thing over and over because it's not working.
Right.
Well, but I think the development in Oconee County, I think, in the long run is going to be a mistake for them.
I agree.
And so I'm not sure that we really need to be competing with
Oconee
County.
But that's the long run. We have.
They're making bad planning decisions, in my opinion, and just because they're making bad planning decisions, I don't think we need to necessarily follow suit.
Right. That's so interesting.
Because I don't think that type of development is going to last
much
longer.
Well, we couldn't do that on Atlanta Highway. We don't have the land to do it.
Right. Well, you know, what Blake is saying is interesting to me because we were talking, one of our shows, we talked about our comprehensive plan and how we're getting ready to start that 10-year, the update. And the way we're doing that is very aggressive based on a lot of professional support and input. The way Oconee County is doing it is with a Northeast Georgia Regional Development Commission staff member and a 29-member committee of citizens. And as Blake was saying, I was very impressed by the wisdom that's coming out of them, the requiring truck routes around Watkinsville and Bishop, which has been very endangering to both of those communities. But what Blake is saying, I think, is really important. I feel really sorry for department stores. They're almost in the same situation that newspapers and public media is, because people are using the internet more. It's much, much easier for well-heeled professionals to come home from a hard job, to have dinner, and then sit down at the computer and order Crate and Barrel or whatever without having to go look, mm-hmm. without having to drive, without whatever.
Or, I mean, you know, go to Target if you're like me, if you're not the well-heeled.
Right,
you know,
right. But, well,
I mean,
that's
I mean,
right.
Anybody. We go you back know, to, I mean, you can get diapers from Amazon.
Going back
I mean,
to the Atlanta Highway again, you know, the new Walmart neighborhood grocery store is doing very, very well. It's a great place to shop, and they're open 24 hours a day.
Right,
and
people
are using it. Yeah. And that's the kind of I predict that's the kind of development we're going to see on Atlanta Highway. We're going to continue to see automobile dealers. I think we're actually going to see a couple more pretty soon, or one expanding and another one. We're seeing restaurants, and I think restaurants are going to be attracted to come out there. It's a great restaurant destination. It already is. We're going to probably see some mixed-use office development, professional development out there. That could even happen at the mall, which is one of the trends that's happening with because you know malls are in trouble all over the country, big trouble.
Yeah, as we talked about.
And that's
about
one of the trends is to turn them into multi-use
and that's
multi-use
a great
facilities.
Talk about Oconee County is that their new development is really not state of the art. It's mm-hmm. a different approach.
It's something out of the 90s.
Yeah, they're not promoting, as we were
it's
talking
20,
before, 30
years
they're not promoting
behind.
Mixed use at all.
No. Right. And but also I would say that the plan that you described for Atlanta Highway is just as defeating as what we have there now. So I'm sorry to hear
it's
that
defeating.
We're not. Defeating our purpose of attracting a variety
well,
we don't, of...
We can't make Atlanta Highway look like Prince Avenue, and we sure as heck don't want to ruin Prince
I have
Avenue.
No,
so,
yeah, I have no
and the,
interest
And the zoning and land use laws for Atlanta Highway, except for these two exceptions that I just mentioned, mm-hmm. are exactly the same as Prince Avenue. There is no difference.
Right.
So we got to recognize the differences.
Well, I don't think necessarily we can make it look like Prince Avenue, but I think we can make it look like, you know, Broad Street further in town and the development that's been going on there, which is right up on the road
and very
has parking decks and, you know, doesn't have acres of surface parking that you have to walk across if you're a pedestrian to get where you're going. Right.
Well, it's hard to compare Broad Street or even West Broad Street to Atlanta Highway past the bridge. Over the river.
Right.
But eventually it will be. 20 or 30 years from now, which is where we need to be looking, I think, when we make planning decisions.
Right. So we need to figure out how to start making it grow now. Right. I'm not just making this stuff up and saying, let's try this. These are ideas that we're getting from from the Board of Realtors and from the developers who say, I have an opportunity, but these are the kinds of things we need to do.
Right. But what are urban design people talking about? And you keep saying, I know that it's suburban. I understand that we're looking at it now, it is. But if you look at what is attracting and guiding other communities that are developing old commercial highways, it's a little different. I remember when way back when Lauren Coyle planted a bunch of trees down Atlanta Highway, and the bank went out there and tore them all up. They didn't want anything to shield people from seeing their signs, you know. Well, now that a lot of that's changing now, where people really want to create a softer effect in those areas.
We're jumping back, and I'm jumping back between Spilos and this conversation because I think it's important. Because part of the Spilos, one of Spilos' proposals is, it's $2 million for the Atlanta Highway Corridor, and it's not earmarked for any particular set of projects. It's to leverage with the GDOT money to do things like trees and bike lanes and the kinds of things the state will agree to do, and I think it's pretty wide open. We looked, and there's nothing on the GDOT plans right now that meet our requirements. So we're going to have to do a lot of work. But there's $2 million for Atlanta Highway. There's $2 million for Lexington Road. And there's $2 million for 29. So we're gonna use that money to do the kinds of things that you're talking about.
For those outer commercial,
like, for example, byways. we can't put trees in the medians on Atlanta Highway right now.
Right.
Because there are no curbs.
Yeah.
That's the reason, because GDOT didn't put curbs in. So maybe we can get GDOT to put curbs in and we can beautify the medians. The medians
could
be
gorgeous. What about Mayquartz? It's Mayquartz how we get GDOT money?
Yes.
And how are we doing
with Mayquartz? Doesn't really have a lot of teeth. I mean, they're actually the only MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization in the state that doesn't get to pick their own projects. They give input to GDOT, but GDOT... Yeah.
They're the only one that doesn't get to pick their projects?
Right. Like in Atlanta, the locals
or
other cities that are big enough to have an MPO, I think there are 8 or 9 of them in Georgia, they all get to pick their projects and prioritize them. And for us, we're the smallest, but GDOT is in charge and our MPO Mayquartz is just an advisory group.
Yeah,
that means we have lost total control.
Well, think about the Oconee Connector. I mean, they spent $25 million to build a bridge and a road through the woods that was not needed. And Atlanta Highway sitting there with plans that have been on the table for decades.
Well, and then Oconee County's spending another like $10 million or whatever on this road now, to open up the parcel across the street for another shopping center the same size, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Oconee County has always been, it reminds me of Hugh Logan, it's the old roads and bridges approach to progress. Mm. They don't believe progress has any other look but asphalt and concrete. And it has not served them badly. I thought it was interesting that they were saying that people who live there don't work there, and the people who work there can't live there. So they're really beginning to look at some of their problems, but it was fascinating to me to see in their prioritization how low sewer was, which is that infrastructure is so, that's the only support that you really you have to have in place.
Well, since we're talking about, pedestrian and transit and things like that, I think we should talk about T-SPLOS a little bit in a broader way because there is, I think, 53 or 54% of that $100 million raise is going to go to bike and pedestrian facilities?
Yeah, that's about the right number. I have it right here. That's about right.
That's a
good
chunk.
There's funding for Firefly Trail.
That includes trails.
Yeah, there's funding for Firefly Trail. There's funding for new sidewalks. We have a huge backlog of sidewalks. There is $25 million for road paving because we also have a big backlog of roads that need to be paved.
We've got about a $25 million backlog. Right?
There's a lot of money for LARP. That's true. Right. That's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of the suburban corridors. I think there's also $4 million for Prince Avenue that we could finally get a bike lane or a bike path on Prince Avenue with that money.
Yeah. I think it's two, but yeah.
Was it two?
Yeah,
I thought it was split.
It was cut back.
Two and two between
it could be.
You know, we keep talking about these corridor studies that we did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago now that just got put on the shelf.
Longer
and now
than
finally
that.
we have some funding to do some of these things that we've done all these studies about Atlanta Highway, Lexington Road, Oconee Street, Prince Avenue, you know, that we can at least start to implement some of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
assuming
it
passes.
Yeah. I think this TSLOS is really important because I think it can bring to reality the vision that we've had for a long time about connecting these networks with bike and pedestrian and bus and all. You know, I think we've got a lot of pieces that TSLOS could connect in such a way that our community says, yeah, this is what we're doing, and we're doing a good job of it, and it works, and let's keep growing it, you know.
And we have some really exciting plans for the Greenway that I think when that's finally built out, that's going to be incredible.
Really?
We're building 3 new miles right now.
Right, yeah. And I mean, the way that that's all interconnected, and then even if we can start on the middle Oconee side, you know, and have all the connections in between the middle and north, I mean, you're going to be able to get almost anywhere in the city and not ever set foot on a road.
Right.
Or set tire on a road, you know.
And every property within so far of that network is going to appreciate, and that's happened all over the country. So we're really talking about a huge investment that will help everyone.
Right. Let me tell you where we are with TSLOS right now, what the next steps are going to be, in case you're interested. We have until, I think it's July 5th, for public comments online, and then there's another hearing. I think it's July 5th. It's that first meeting.
Right, because the commission meeting was moved from Tuesday to Wednesday because of the 4th of July.
Right.
So then
that's
going to be at the commission meeting
at
6 on the 5th.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah. And so after that hearing, we're going to gather up all of the public comments and then the Citizen Advisory Committee's candidate list. These are the projects they've whittled down to worth $103 million from the original $250 million set of projects. Then the commission is going to start looking at it. There's going to be the mayor has assigned myself and Andy Harrod and Mike Hamby to take the first look at it and to make some and listen to other commissioners and make some recommendations about what we think would be the right set of things. And of course, you know, we have the power to add projects that the Citizens Advisory Committee did not include. We have we can change scope a bit. A lot of
can you extend the time?
No. The state law is it's 5 years.
So you would have to take something off.
I was under the impression, I think, that they clarified that you could actually go to 10 years if you want to.
Yeah, well, I think our intent is to go to 5.
Okay.
How will you add projects when they've
given you? You take projects away.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, for example, there's a lot of Greenway and Rails to Trails Firefly money in this plan, in the advisory committee. That's a lot of money.
And Firefly's $17 million, I think.
Yeah, and the Trails another 12.
Right.
The Greenway's another 12. So you wonder, you know, do you want to start on, like, Greenway projects that you can't finish in 5 years? You know, Greenway projects take a long time because of land acquisition problems and all kinds of stuff. But maybe we want to use that money for infrastructure projects that can be done and completed quicker because we have another speed loss coming up in a couple of years. So the speed loss has been a good way to finance, among other things, the Greenway network.
And I think it's important to note that there is another bite of the apple because we do have a SPLOS coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably in about a year or two.
Right.
That, you know, really anything that could be funded by TSPLOS really could be funded
by
SPLOS.
That's right. And so we want to make TSPLOS as useful to as many people as possible and something that impacts our budget in a positive way.
Right.
And street paving is a very good example of that, street improvements.
Well, I think, to put on my pundit hat for a second, I mean, I think you need this kind of mix that you've got right now to get this thing passed.
Well,
because I think if it's all roads,
one
that's
could
gonna
argue,
really hurt it.
One could argue that there is a perception by people outside the loop that the Greenway projects are not interesting to them.
Well,
not all of them, but a lot of them.
But Firefly Trail is entirely outside the loop.
Well,
and
that,
I mean,
and
you
that
know, that's what we're talking about.
And Winterville would be big supporters.
If you put too much road stuff on there, you know, all the people who live in the city, you're going to lose them. They're not going to vote for it.
Well, that's a possibility, but also look at the impact we want to have on the budget is we don't want to raise taxes in order to pave streets again. And we're headed there. If T-SPLOS doesn't pass, then we're going to lose the money that we would have used to pave streets. Where are we going to get that money?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But
We're 5 years behind now in street paving. We should be spending $5 million a year in street paving. We're spending 2 to 3.
Yeah. Well,
so we keep getting behinder and behinder.
The fact that you can say that and that for 5 years you haven't addressed the need by doing what was needed, raising a little bit of a tax or whatever.
And we're 15 years behind on the Greenway, so.
Right. But I don't disagree with only funding what we can get done within a certain period of time. But I think that it's really important that we keep the special, you know, the special wording in here, because if we make these things into our only support for basic, you should never use short-term money for long-term needs, is what I was taught when I was learning about government. And I think that we should be very careful about what are our core commitments, what are we willing to, as a community, to raise raise the taxes for, and what we will just let decline, like you were saying, if for 5 years we've been only doing...
I think that's a good point about the roads, because what happens when the 5 years run out? And I think that also, as much as I would support more transit, I think that's an issue with transit too, because there's a big chunk of money for transit in here. That, you know, again, if you're going to, it's going to pay for a new route, it's going to pay for more frequency, but then when the money runs out, what do you do? You know, I mean, are you going to provide this for 5 years and then end it, or, you know, how do we pay for it after that?
Right.
So I think stuff that you can build, you know, like trails that don't really require a lot of maintenance or a lot of operating costs, you know, is probably the ideal thing to put in here to spend this money.
Well, we're going to have to spend more money than we have been or even are planning for the trails maintenance and operating costs. We're not taking good care of those trails. We've got a lot of invasive plants along those trails. We don't have the staff to do it in leader services.
Well, you know,
we don't have rangers. I mean,
we
don't have park rangers. We need park rangers.
Well, you know, I would just say that just the Firefly Trail just demonstrated that it could raise $61,000 in a very short period of time from 300 donors of pretty sizable donations. And I think we need to start sharing and delegating more and more authority and involvement and maintenance and caring to our citizens. They need to be made an integral part of our programs.
Gwen, I'm going to let that be the last word. I didn't think it was going to work out that way, but it worked out. You have the last word today. I want to thank my guests, Commissioner Jerry Neesmith, Gwen O'Looney, and Blake Odd. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.